A huge show of support for the European Union. Thousands of people rally in Poland after a top court there rejected one of the EU's founding legal principles. Could Poland follow the UK and leave the bloc? And how should EU leaders respond? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I'm Adrian Finnegan. One of the European Union's core principles is the supremacy of its laws. That means that regulations decided in Brussels are applied equally across its 27 member states and override national legislation. Poland is challenging that idea. Its top court has ruled that parts of EU law are not compatible with the Polish constitution. The government in Warsaw has welcomed the decision, but EU leaders are threatening to retaliate. And on Sunday, hundreds of thousands of Polish protesters urged their government to commit to keeping Poland in the bloc. We'll bring in our guests in just a moment. But first, a report from Al Jazeera's Rory Challens in Warsaw.
Large crowds and EU flags aplenty in central Warsaw, and real fears for the country's future.
We would like to stay in the European Union, and we are very afraid that we are going to the Polexit, together with the government of Mr. Kaczyński and the others, yeah?
It's like, a magician who is playing, a young magician who is playing with fire, and he doesn't know how to stop, so it can explode. So I think it's the same here. They don't really know what they do.
Since the Constitutional Tribunal ruled on Thursday that foundational parts of EU law don't apply in Poland, opposition politicians and EU supporters have been mobilising.
The turnout here reinforces a central point. Support for the European Union in Poland is overwhelming, some 75 to 80% of the population. Not even the ruling Law and Justice Party really questions Poland's membership of the European Union. So it begs a question, why is the government picking such a potentially dangerous fight with Brussels?
We did invite Poland's government and supporters in the media to explain their position, but none took the opportunity. So I put the question to Adam Bodnar. Until being ousted by the same tribunal that ruled against the EU, he was Poland's human rights ombudsman.
It seems to me that government would simply like to accept, okay, we can take the money, we can take all those benefits, but please leave us alone when it comes to any pressure concerning the compliance with any European standards. But it is impossible, simply because you cannot be at the same time member of the European Union and ignore basic rules of European integration.
The EU is thinking about its response. It neither wants to let this slide nor worsen the dispute.
We will react, of course, like we have done in the last weeks and months. You have seen that. Again, we are waiting now for new decisions of the Court of Justice about the situation in Poland. Also, possible daily financial sanctions.
The Constitution now joins issues like judicial reform, abortion and LGBT rights. Connected fronts in a power struggle between Poland's government and the EU that's getting worse, not better. Rory Challens, Al Jazeera, Warsaw.
Well, other EU member states are resisting some of the bloc's so-called shared values. Hungary has backed Poland's controversial court ruling. Prime Minister Viktor Orban has been at odds with the EU about judicial independence. The European Commission is worried about political interference in the legal system of some of its member states. It's also concerned about attacks on journalists and hostility towards activists defending women's and LGBTQ rights. 11 member states, including Austria and Ireland, say the EU should respect their authority to set their own policies on education, childcare and labour laws. So let's bring in our guests for today's discussion. From Warsaw, we're joined by Michal Wawrykiewicz, a lawyer and co-founder of the hashtag Free Courts initiative. From Dresden, Ulrich Bruckner, political analyst and professor of political science at Stanford University in Berlin. And from Brussels, Peter Klepper, a lawyer and editor of BrusselsReport.eu. Gentlemen, welcome to you all. Michal, let's start with you. Is Poland heading for the EU's exit door? Are we looking at Polexit here?
That is a very serious concern because that is a consequence of the battle that we have for the last 6 years when the unlawfully captured constitutional court issues the verdict saying that exactly Polish government and Polish government do not have to accept, do not have to execute the rulings of the European Court of Justice. And that is the issue, because Polish government do not want to have the control from the European Union institutions when it comes to the independence of judiciary. Polish government and Polish parliament throughout last 6 years changed completely the system of judiciary in Poland. And from the systemic point of view, it is captured by the government. It is not independent anymore. And that's why Brussels and that's why Luxembourg and the European Court of Justice is trying to force preservance of the European law in Poland. And that is the essence of the conflict.
Ulrich, as we heard a few minutes ago in the report, the EU says it will react to the court's pronouncement. But how is this going to be resolved? Is it possible the EU could say to Poland, either you change your constitution or you simply can't remain a member state?
Well, in my understanding, Poland has already left the legal community. It's not a matter of is it happening one day under certain conditions. The EU consists of different legal communities. It's an economic community. It's a community of principles and cultural values. It's a political community, and most importantly, it's a legal one. And if a country claims that it's no longer legally committed to the obligations and it only wants to use the privileges and the rights, it has practically said goodbye to the legal community. The problem with the EU is that it's not a state. We cannot send the cavalry. And the torture instruments are rather limited because the ones that will be tortured are the ones who have to collectively to decide about the use of the torture instruments. And you always find someone who fears that if I do this now and if I stick to the rules of the community, I will be next. And that is why Orbán from Hungary and most likely also Slovenia is backing the position of the Polish government.
Peter, it's been described as unprecedented, a massive escalation of the crisis of the rule of law in Poland. What are the implications of this? If Poland doesn't voluntarily withdraw from the Union, what are the chances of it being frozen out legally from within?
Well, legally, it's not not possible to exclude a member state. The European Commission can initiate another infringement procedure. This can ultimately culminate in a fine. If Poland does not pay the fine, then the Commission can sort of take the money from the transfers that the Polish state receives from the European Union. There's also the so-called Article 7 procedure, which in theory allows member states to vote, so Poland no longer has voting rights. This is all, of course, political science fiction. I think in practice, the priority will be to try to find a political solution. And I understand that's what many believe is behind all this. Many believe, like the Polish guest says, that the Polish Constitutional Court is actually instructed by the Polish government, and that this is all a ploy for the Polish government to increase its leverage. Now, if you look at, of course, the history, and if you look at other member states, you can see that the Polish Constitutional Court in 2005 has already issued a ruling where it declares the Polish Constitution to be superior to EU law. Now, this time around, it's all a lot more aggressive, you may say. If you look at the jurisprudence of the German Constitutional Court since the 1970s, really, with the Solange rulings, it has said that the German Constitution is ultimately superior to EU law, and it has repeated this stance. However, tolerating so the fact that that EU law is superior. Now, the problem is that the EU treaty does not contain any content on this. This is all based on jurisprudence of the top EU court, the top EU court that declares that EU law is superior. And so far, this had been sort of tolerated de facto by EU member states. And of course, at one point when you have the top court of a member state and the government openly challenging this, then you have a problem.
Michal, picking up on what Peter was saying there, about this being perhaps a ploy, how legitimate is Poland's constitutional court? Are we talking about independent judges here or government-appointed ones? And what does this mean for regular Polish judges? I mean, what consequences do they face if they now implement EU law over Polish law and vice versa? Doesn't it put them in something of an impossible position?
Well, one comment to what my colleague from Brussels said. Actually, there is no conflict between the standard that is described in Polish constitution and the standard which is described in EU law, in treaties, in the charter. The same standard of independence of judiciary. So there is no conflict. This is only potential political conflict risen by our government. But coming back to your question regarding this legitimacy of this constitutional court, this constitutional court is unlawfully composed. There are three illegal judges sitting in the panel of this constitutional court. It was already confirmed by the European Court of Human Rights in July in Xeroflor case. The European Court of Human Rights directly said that this constitutional court with these three illegal judges is not the court in the meaning of European standard. So what will be the consequence of this verdict? I suppose that Polish courts, especially the Supreme Court, will ignore this verdict, and Polish judges and Polish court will follow the judgments of the European Court of Justice.
Okay, but is that going to get them into any potential legal problems there in Poland?
That is obvious. We have incredible legal chaos in a Polish system. And of course, such a verdict produces another conflicts and another problems. But at the end of the day, I believe that Polish courts and Polish judges, which are really brave and really independent, and they do not afraid consequences, even if they are really toughly repressed by the government with the disciplinary proceedings, with the criminal proceedings, with other form of repression. We have more than 150 proceedings against Polish judges, repressions against Polish judges. That is a serious problem. But even though Polish judges are brave enough to issue independent verdicts, and as I said, at the end of the day, I believe that verdict of the Constitutional Court will be ignored by Polish courts, and Polish judges will follow the European law and the standards described by the European Court of Justice.
Ulrich, we said a few moments ago this has been described as unprecedented, but is it? Germany's Constitutional Court challenged the EU's legal order when judges found that the European Central Bank overstepped its mandate. So why is Poland being criticised in a way that Germany wasn't, and are double standards at play here?
It's not double standards because these are two different standards. What the Supreme Court in Germany did was to do what Supreme Courts do. They look at their constitution and see if what the executive is doing is backed by the constitution. So the Supreme Court in Germany warned the government that if we transform Germany into something like a liability union or a United States of Europe form that is not backed by the Constitution, we have to adapt the Constitution. So this is by no means a way to say goodbye to the European Union and Germany declares its independence. It is just to look into what does the Grundgesetz in Germany say. What the Polish judges are asked to do politically by the government is to support their confrontational course to create a situation which is very different from horse trading about money. You cannot apply a little bit of the rule of law. It's like pregnancy. Either you are pregnant or you're not. If the Polish government would apply for membership as a candidate with such a position, it would never, ever become a member. Now that they are in, I'm not really sure what my colleague from Brussels said before, that the nuclear option is purely political science fiction. If the confrontational course will be as confrontational as it sounds right now, this is the last option.
Peter, has the Commission gradually overstepped its remit? Shouldn't sovereignty and differing national priorities be taken into account by the Commission?
Fundamentally, I think there is a problem of the European Union overstepping its powers. But here I would not so much blame the Commission. I mean, they are to blame. But ultimately, the European Court of Justice, which has been permitting this this power overreach for years. I mean, a former German president, Roman Herzog, has been warning for this, many other people. And the question is more, how do you solve it? Because, of course, the European Court of Justice says, well, we respect the competences. And I believe that an interesting, creative way to solve it would be to subject the European Court of Justice to what I would call a subsidiarity court, basically yet another court, an intergovernmental court, that would have very few cases, but that basically would be responsible to sort out disputes on distribution of competence. So whenever a government thinks, oh, the EU is overstepping its power here and the European Court of Justice is permitting this, then only on these cases this new court would be able to overrule. So I think that would make it, let's say, a lot more likely that you would not have these kind of differences in opinion. And it's probably true that the Polish government is sort of exploiting this long, lingering constitutional law problem to basically implement its judicial reforms that I indeed agree that you could raise a lot of question marks, especially if you see sort of situation with the government so in such a broil with judges. That's a very unhealthy situation, and we see similar tendencies all across Central and Eastern Europe, sadly.
Okay. Michal, what's your response to that? Why is the Polish government picking such a potentially dangerous fight with the EU? Or are the EU treaties, as they exist, simply unworkable across such a politically diverse block of countries? Is it the EU that's out of state with member states and not the individual nations?
First of all, my answer is the Polish situation regarding violation of independence of judiciaries is black and white. It's absolutely obvious. So all the verdicts already issued by European Court of Justice and the European Court of Human Rights are saying clearly that Polish government violates European law and violates these fundamental standards. One of them is independence of judiciary, is a protection of the rule of law. So it is not the discussion between lawyers. It is not the conflict between lawyers even. This is an obvious situation. This is a conflict between law and violation of law. So I was the participant as the representative of judges, even Supreme Court judges, in these proceedings in the European Court of Human in the European Court in Luxembourg, and I could see what was presented by Polish government, what was presented by European Commission and other countries which participate in these proceedings. And as I said, this conflict, this situation is black and white. We are, as Democrats, protecting European values on a white position, and the government is violating, obviously, the rule of law. You wouldn't imagine what is happening in Poland every day with judges who are trying to implement directly European law, which are trying to ask the questions for preliminary ruling to the European Court of Justice. They are simply repressed.
Ulrich, it's black and white, Michal says. Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban signed a declaration welcoming the Polish court's ruling and said that the, I quote, the primacy of EU law should only apply in areas where the EU has competence, and the framework for this is laid down in the EU's founding treaties. Constitutional courts and tribunals have every right to examine the scope and limits of EU competences. He has a point, doesn't he?
This is perfectly right, and that's the very nature of the European Union. On the one hand, the member states remain the masters of the process, and they decide what competences are Europeanized, to what extent, and this is written in the Lisbon Treaty at the moment. It has to been the same with the founding treaties and all the following treaties. That's the one side of the story. The other side of the story is the moment you Europeanize law, this law supersedes over national law or any law. It doesn't matter if it's written in the Constitution or if it's a convention or unwritten law. This is the only way to create a legal space in which law is equal to everyone. So no one questions this. And I also don't think that it's the core of the problem that it's a judicial one. The core of the problem is a political one, because Kaczynski and the ruling party in Poland and Orban with his ruling party simply dream of a different political system, which is not in line with what the European Union defines as a requirement for membership in the European Union.
Okay.
This is the collision course, and not the question of if national judges agree with what has been ruled in Luxembourg and so on.
Peter, a recent European Commission dossier on respect for rule of law across the bloc expressed concerns about several countries. We're not talking just about Poland and Hungary here. Democratic backsliding, as it's been called. What has changed politically since member states signed up to the treaties? How dangerous is it for the EU? And what can the Commission do about it?
Well, I think for a fact that there are problems with rule of law in several EU member states, probably in every EU member state at the end of the day, but definitely in a very problematic way in certain member states. And I would dare to single out the new member state that entered in 2004. The reasons for that, that's perhaps another debate. I don't think we should glorify how the situation was right after the fall of communism. In some cases, like in Romania, the transition was not all that transitionist. You can see the Secret Service continuing to play a role there, for example. Similar problems in Bulgaria. The situation was much better in Poland and Hungary. Now, a second question is, what can the EU, what can other member states do about all that? I think it's very, very hard. You easily end up in debates with double standards. People will say, well, why are you going after Poland and not after how Spain is treating Catalonia, for example? And maybe to sum up my point, I think they should at least not send massive sums of money to oligarchs that...
Sorry, Peter, we're almost out of time. I just want to ask Michal one very quick question. You've got about 30 seconds, Michal. How dangerous is this for Poland's government? With EU support riding so high, is there a danger that people just might get so fed up with them, they'll vote them out?
Well, it is a dangerous situation for Poland and for Polish government because, as far as I can see, European institutions are consequent, and the European Commission decided to stop this crisis because it is not only our internal Polish issue. It is the problem of the whole Europe. If you do not stop this crisis of rule of law in Poland, it can be domino effect for the whole Europe.
There, I'm afraid, gentlemen, we'll have to leave it. We're out of time. Many thanks indeed to Michal Wawrykiewicz, Ulrich Bruckner and Peter Klepper. Thank you, too, for watching. Don't forget you can see the programme again at any time just by going to the website at aljazeera.com. For further discussion, join us at our Facebook page. You'll find that at facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And you can join the conversation on Twitter, our handle at AJInsideStory. From me, Adrian Finnegan, and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for being with us. We'll see you again. Bye for now.